She felt so defeated by the weight of an unknown word that she decided to put shame behind her and ask what a pessary was, and only then did she discover that the French doctor had hanged himself to a beam 3 months earlier and had been buried against the wishes of the townspeople by a former companion-in-arms of Colonel Aureliano Buendia. Then she confided in her son, José Arcadio, and the latter sent her the pessaries from Rome, along with a pamphlet explaining their use, which she flushed down the toilet after committing it to memory so that no one would learn the nature of her troubles. It was a useless precaution, because the only people who lived in the house scarcely paid any attention to her. Santa Sofia de la Piedad was wandering about in her solitary old age, cooking the little that they ate, and almost completely dedicated to the care of José Arcadio II. Amaranta Úrsula, who had inherited certain attractions of Remedios the Beauty, spent the time that she had formerly wasted tormenting Úrsula at her schoolwork, and she began to show good judgment and a dedication to study that brought back to Aureliano II the high hopes that Meme had inspired in him. He had promised her to send her to finish her studies in Brussels, in accord with a custom established during the time of the Banana Company, and that illusion had brought him to attempt to revive the lands devastated by the deluge. The few times that he appeared at the house were for Amaranta Úrsula, because with time he had become a stranger to Fernanda, and little Aureliano was becoming withdrawn as he approached puberty. Aureliano II had faith that Fernanda's heart would soften with old age, so that the child could join in the life of a town where no one certainly would make any effort to speculate suspiciously about his origins. But Aureliano himself seemed to prefer the cloister of solitude, and he did not show the least desire to know the world that began at the street door of the house. When Úrsula had the door of Melquiades's room opened, he began to linger about it, peeping through the half-open door, and no one knew at what moment he became close to José Arcadio II in a link of mutual affection. Aureliano II discovered that friendship a long time after it had begun, when he heard the child talking about the killing at the station. It happened once when someone at the table complained about the ruin into which the town had sunk when the Banana Company had abandoned it, and Aureliano contradicted him with maturity and with the vision of a grown person. His point of view, contrary to the general interpretation, was that Macondo had been a prosperous place, and well on its way, until it was disordered and corrupted and suppressed by the Banana Company, whose engineers brought on the deluge as a pretext to avoid promises made to the workers. Speaking with such good sense that to Fernanda he was like a sacrilegious parody of Jesus among the wise men, the child described with precise and convincing details how the army had machine-gunned more than 3,000 workers penned up by the station, and how they loaded the bodies onto a 200-car train and threw them into the sea. Convinced, as most people were, by the official version that nothing had happened, Fernanda was scandalized with the idea that the child had inherited the anarchist ideas of Colonel Aureliano Buendia, and told him to be quiet. Aureliano II, on the other hand, recognized his twin brother's version. Actually, in spite of the fact that everyone considered him mad, José Arcadio II was at that time the most lucid inhabitant of the house. He taught little Aureliano how to read and write, initiated him in the study of the parchments, and he inculcated him with such a personal interpretation of what the Banana Company had meant to Macondo that many years later, when Aureliano became part of the world, one would have thought that he was telling a hallucinated version, because it was radically opposed to the false one that historians had created and consecrated in the schoolbooks. In the small isolated room where the arid air never penetrated, nor the dust, nor the heat, both had the atavistic vision of an old man, his back to the window, wearing a hat with a brim like the wings of a crow who spoke about the world many years before they had been born. Both described at the same time how it was always March there and always Monday, and then they understood that José Arcadio Buendía was not as crazy as the family said, but that he was the only one who had enough lucidity to sense the truth of the fact that time also stumbled and had accidents and could therefore splinter and leave an eternalized fragment in a room. José Arcadio II had managed, furthermore, to classify the cryptic letters of the parchments. He was certain that they corresponded to an alphabet of 47 to 53 characters, which, when separated, looked like scratching and scribbling, and which, in the fine hand of Melquiades, looked like pieces of clothing put out to dry on a line. Aureliano remembered having seen a similar table in the English Encyclopedia, so he brought it to the room to compare it with that of José Arcadio II. They were indeed the same.